Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, right here on Giants.com. Joined by Lance Meadow, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513. It is finally here. It is the week of the NFL Draft. Months of preparation, months of talk, and now we're finally going to find out in just a couple of days who the Giants pick might be at number 10. A big show for you today. Tony Pauline will join us in about 5 minutes at 12:05 to talk about the draft, the latest things he's hearing around the league, and what might happen on draft night. Thank you for joining us on Twitter if you're with us there. We'll cut out on you guys in about 4 or 5 minutes. Then you can listen to the rest of the show on Giants.com. And Lance, we've been bombarded with NFL news this morning, so I figure since really nothing else going on, we'll touch on that real quick. We're not going to spend the show on it because I know a lot of people want to focus on the draft and on the Giants. But
you don't want to talk about Deflategate for the next 60 minutes?
No, I do not. So that's number one. Yes. It looks like Tom Brady's suspension is back on until he appeals to the next court and then the next court. So who knows if this thing's even going to be implemented until after he retires in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, well, based on how these legalities play out, and those of you who are familiar with the legal system, not to give you a whole dissertation, it's a process. And I'm sure this is not the end of the process. I'm sure that he and his parties, as well as the NFL Players Association, will take the necessary steps to continue to fight this. So, you know, for those of you who think that he's definitely going to miss the first four games, I would cautiously say, let's see how things play out.
Absolutely, that's number one. And remember, folks, just to make sure you understand what's going on here, these appeals courts are not ruling on whether or not they think Tom Brady knew about deflating footballs. They're ruling on whether or not Roger Goodell has the power to give any player a suspension in this type of situation.
Oh, this is a collective bargaining argument.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to. It's the CBA. It's the language of the CBA that is basically being debated within the legal system. And whether or not, as you mentioned, John, Roger Goodell went over his power or stayed within the limits of his power when he issued this punishment. That's what it's about. Really has nothing to do with the reports that came out, the facts, how much air PSI was in the footballs. We are so way beyond that. This is basically an argument that not about the X's and O's. You need a team of attorneys to make sense of what's going on right now, because it's all based on the legal system.
No, absolutely. And I think when you take a look at it, Lance, we'll see what happens in the future, but let's not consider now how this could affect the season, because so many things can change.
Absolutely.
Nugget number two. Apparently, according to Adam Schefter, at least, Sam Bradford's folks, his representatives, have informed the Philadelphia Eagles that he wants to be traded. And I think, based on the 30 seconds we discussed this before the show, I think we're in accord here. This doesn't make a lot of sense for Bradford, and it certainly doesn't make a lot of sense for the Eagles. And even if they were inclined to trade him, which I don't think they will be, it's going to be hard finding a trading partner given the money on his contract.
Yeah, he had an $11 million signing bonus, John, as we were discussing before we came on. So they already paid him out that sum. I would think if the Eagles were to ship him out somewhere, and this is rare, it's not as if this happens a lot, I mean, they would maybe want the team that acquires him to maybe help offset some of that signing bonus if they were willing to go to that dimension in terms of coughing up some of those bucks. But at this point, if you're Sam Bradford, the Eagles pretty much have made it clear that they anticipate he's going to be the starter and he'll mentor Carson Wentz, assuming that he's the number two overall pick. I mean, I understand maybe there may be some disrespect in play here, John. You know, you want to be looked at as that future quarterback. But remember, you know, he has questions about his durability given his injury history. I still think it's a comfortable fit for Bradford because you're guaranteed to at least be in competitive mode to get that starting job. And right now, you're the most familiar with the personnel on the team.
I know he's on a two-year deal. It's not like he has a five-year deal in place here and the Eagles now have thrown him aside. You're only there for 2 years anyway. There was no, you know, guarantee of long-term security. Besides Philadelphia, what other team out there is going to want to give you that type of money to be your starting quarterback? The Jets are pinching pennies at the quarterback position, understandably so given Muhammad Wilkerson, cap space, and things like that. The Broncos also have very limited cap space at their disposal at the moment. even with that Ryan Clady trade. I don't think they have the money to spare in terms of bringing in an $18 million type of level quarterback. So who out there is going to give you this opportunity? It's not like the Eagles are having you be the backup. They're having you start. You know, if the reports are right and Carson Wentz is the guy, it's universally agreed upon by analysts that this is a guy that's not going to be able to step in right away and play. He's going to have to take some time to develop. So why not be that guy, start a couple years, and you know what? If they do go with Carson Wentz and you play really good football this year, then you can pick where you want to go.
Oh, absolutely. Your stock goes up. Yeah.
And if, you know, in two years, he's going to be, what, 30, 31 years old? He's not that old, Bradford, right?
No, Bradford's not. Unfortunately, the way we talk about him is if he's an old man because of
right.
all his injuries.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be more than 30 in 2 years.
I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, look up. I'm curious. Because if you're a quarterback and you're a free agent at the age of 30, that is right damn smack in the middle or maybe even the beginning of your prime, to be quite honest with you. So, you know, he'll be in a great situation in 2 years and to pick where he wants to go. So I really don't understand why he would want to get traded away. So he'll be 30 then when this contract is up. So I don't get it. I really don't. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us on Twitter. If you want to watch the rest of the show, go to Giants.com right now. For those of you watching on Giants.com, John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, and now we're joined by one of the good friends of the program. That's Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net. Also does a lot of great work for SNY and a bunch of different outlets as well. Tony, John Schmelk, Lance Meadow up here in New York. Thanks for giving us the time the week of the draft. I know this is your busy time of year.
Getting crazy just a few more days before we will officially kick it off, although basically pretty much everyone knows what's going to happen at the top of the draft right now.
Well, yeah, but I think it's a question of what happens after those top two picks. And, you know, the question is, Tony, which one of these big guys that are the top five position players in this draft, and I'll talk about the Tunsil, the Bosa, the Ramsey, the Buckner, the Elliott. I'll put those five guys in that top five, and you can throw Miles Jack in there too, depending on what you're hearing about the knee. Of those five players, do you think, is there a chance one of them falls to the Giants at 10? And if so, which one of those players do you think has the best shot?
It would be Miles Jack, and the only reason he's going to fall is because of medical red flags.
What are you hearing about that?
You know, I've heard everything. I mean, I've heard some teams think it's not that serious. It's a situation that has to be monitored. I mean, it's a meniscus. There's some other side syndromes with it. But, you know, a lot of players have this coming out of college because they're so banged up and they're so beat up. You know, the things with medicals and the NFL draft is if you ask 10 different doctors – On the opinion of a knee or, say, Shaq Lawson's shoulder or something like that, you're going to get 15 different opinions. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it is. I don't think he's going to be red flagged by too many teams in the top 10. I would be surprised if he slides down to the Giants, and if he does, it's because everyone else red flagged the knee. My bigger issue with Miles Jack is he's not even 6'1". He's a great player. He's very intense. He's incredibly athletic. But I think he's going to be a mismatch problems in coverage when he's got to cover 6'3", 6'4.5" tight ends.
Now, just real quickly on the Jack knee one more time, Tony, you're right. There's no way to judge where he's going to go unless you know what the specific medical report is for a team, and nobody has those, and nobody knows what it is. Teams might leak stuff. There might be lies. Nobody knows. But does the consensus seem to be Jack should be fine this year, but most of the concerns about the knee are of a long-term nature? Where is he going to be in 5 years, 6 years? Does that seem to be where the major worry is, long-term stability and strength of that knee? Or is it something that could be immediate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is it a degenerative condition?
Okay.
And even if you have the medical report, it doesn't mean that every team is going to read that medical report the same way or read into that medical report the same way. So, yeah, the obvious issue is, can it be or will it be a degenerative type of situation? And again, you know, first of all, you're not going to get all the information, and the information that you get because it's a health issue, and the information that's coming out is rather conflicting.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring this up because, you know, when we were talking a few weeks back, Tony, the consensus seemed to be that there was more of a concern about Jalen Smith long term, since he had a serious injury that took place a little bit later on in the college football season. From what I'm hearing now, Tony, if you take a chance on Jalen Smith, there's more security that he's going to pan out okay with the knee long term, whereas Miles Jack may be ready to get on the field sooner, but he may not last 2 or 3 years beyond that. Is that what maybe you're hearing with respect to the differences now between both of those guys?
No, and I'll say because Jalen Smith, we don't know if he's going to play again, and when he returns, we don't know what type of player he's going to be. I mean, I had reported from the combine that Jalen Smith was not going to play in 2016, and basically may never was going to be a last day pick, and you don't know what type of player he's going to come out, he's going to be. I mean, Jalen Smith's injury is so much more significant, both in the short and in the long term. Yeah, Miles Jack may have an issue down the road, but we know the severity of Jalen Smith's injury, and we have no idea, people have no idea how he's going to return, if he's even going to return.
What are you hearing real quick on where Jalen Smith might go, Tony? Are you still hearing day three, or is a team like the Titans that have all these extra draft picks going to make sure they secure him on day two because they have the luxury of all those picks?
No, I think it's going to be day three. It could be a team that selects late in the draft, maybe like the Carolina Panthers, a team that that wants to say, hey, let's take a chance on this guy because we've got a lot of good linebackers who we may not be able to afford, in 2 or 3 years, and we'll roll the dice and hope that Jalen Smith, can return to some semblance of his prior self.
Tony, you mentioned Miles Jack could very well be in play at number 10. Now that we know pretty much quarterbacks are going to go 1 and 2, I would assume that, everybody was of the consensus for the most part that there were going to be at least two quarterbacks that would have gone in the top 10. So how much do you think 3 to 10 drastically changes now that essentially we know two quarterbacks are going 1 and 2?
Well, I don't think it does, other than that Tennessee is basically out of the top 10. So unless they trade back in, they're not going to get one of the top tackles, which means that Tunsil's going to fall, maybe slide to San Diego or even further. And now you've got Cleveland basically out of the top five, or you got Cleveland out of the equation for one of the two quarterbacks. I basically think that the top 10 players are going to be the same now as they were a month ago. It's just that the order of those players may be a bit jumbled.
What's your feel for San Diego and Dallas? Because they kind of set the stage then for the rest of the first round. Depending on who they take, the Jaguars, the Ravens, they're going to gobble up whatever elite players they leave on the board. And they're going to throw the 49ers potentially into that mix as well. Do you think the Chargers go with Tunsil? Would they pick a defensive player? And then Dallas, from what I understand, they're kind of deciding between Bosa, Ramsey, and Elliott.
Yeah. Oh, you go with San Diego. I mean, I think it's going to be Tunsil. If they don't take Tunsil, what I've been hearing is there have been some medical questions, not so much red flags. He's had ankle injuries in the past. It was a foot injury during training. I've heard issues about knee injuries. I don't hear that they're severe, but if he starts to fall, you know why. As far as Dallas is concerned, I have heard since February, and I posted that Jalen Ramsey was their number one player on the board. So I would be surprised if Ramsey gets past the Cowboys, although I also wrote that the team liked Elliott Bosa. Primarily, they did a lot of heavy scouting on him because they didn't think that Ramsey would be there.
Right.
I still think if the Cowboys are looking at Ramsey at four, that's the player they select.
Well, I think Ramsey would be a great fit for the Cowboys, given their needs in the secondary. But what's interesting that's happened over the last few weeks, Tony, is Dallas learned it's lost two defensive linemen due to suspension. So I'm wondering, based on what you just said, Ramsey may be number one on the board, but if Joey Bosa is there and they know they're down two critical defensive linemen for at least the first four games, how much does that perhaps come into play to maybe swing it in the direction of Bosa?
Yeah, and it's a good question, but the thing is, how critical is Randy Gregory, who barely played last year?
Yeah.
And the fact is, you're gonna get the other guy back, during the season. So do you want to overload on the position because there's going to be suspensions the first month of the year, rather than plug all desperate needs in the defensive secondary with a much higher rated player? Obviously, it's a debate that's going to take shape in that war room. I just think that taking a defensive end like Bosa over a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who fits needs both in the short and long term, and in some instances or on some boards, maybe the higher rated player it is on the Dallas Cowboys board is a bit short-sighted. Good argument. I agree with it, but I think you have to look at it both long-term and short-term.
Tony, I think Bosa is interesting, and we're joined by Tony Pauline, DraftInsider.net. NFL Network did their live mock draft on Sunday night, and Bosa fell all the way to number 9 to the Bucs. And I almost feel like Joey Bosa's boring. And that's why he's dropping on a lot of these boards. People know what he is. I know some people question his upside because of his elite athleticism, whatever. Like I care what a defensive end runs in the 40-yard dash. Why do you think that maybe the guy that's kind of been a consensus top three player most of the winter seems to, you know, be almost floating out of people's perception early in this draft? Is that what you're feeling from the teams, too, or are the team still locked in on him as the top five guy?
Yeah, there's a term that I use at this point in time when you see guys all of a sudden dropping out of nowhere. It's called paralysis by overanalysis.
Yeah.
And what they do is they just overanalyze these guys, and they pick at their games, and sometimes they manufacture problems that aren't even there. Now, go back to what you said about Joey Bosa not running a good 40 time. He had great shuttle times.
Yeah, exactly.
He had an outstanding three cone time. And you know what? A defensive end is going to run 5 yards to his left and 5 yards to his right and 10 yards to his left more than he's going to run 40 yards down the field.
Yep.
So I would agree with you. Now, that said, there were some people who just felt that the hype of Joey Bosa really didn't meet the expectations. I talked to one team, and they said, go back to the Michigan State film. When he played against, when Michigan State played Ohio State, Joey Bosa never lined up against Jack Conklin. They lined him up on the other side of the field. And sure enough, when I went back to the film and I watched it, granted I only watched the first half, Joey Bosa never took a snap against Jack Conklin. So, and Jack Conklin was the left tackle. It's up to Ohio State to set up the matchups with Joey Bosa.
Interesting.
So that, I think, is a red flag. And the other thing is, you know, there were some off-the-field sort of character issues. I heard during the Senior Bowl, the more teams looked into Joey Bosa's character, the less they're going to like him. I tend to agree with you. I mean, when I see this guy, all he does is make plays. He may not run a good 40 time, but he's a long athlete who's got growth potential, who teams constantly game plan around. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if he gets out of the top five selections, he's great value for whichever team drafts him.
Well, we were just talking, Tony, about how Bosa may be fluctuating in terms of where he may go in the draft. On the flip side, who have you been hearing that has been slowly skyrocketing, perhaps, over the last few weeks based on this overanalysis and everybody putting these prospects under the microscope?
Well, DeForest Buckner, I think, is going to go a lot earlier than people think. Ryan Kelly, the center guard out of Alabama, who everyone thought is a second round pick, now could go somewhere basically off the board by the end of bottom third of round one. So he's moving up boards. I know a lot of teams like Darren Lee. We've talked about him before.
Yep.
Of Ohio State. I think he's going to go a bit earlier, as well as T.J. Green, the defensive back from Clemson, who, you know, played safety. Some people think he's going to be a bump-and-run corner. Some people think he's going to be a late first-round pick. I don't think so, but here's a guy who, you know, before the combine, we're projecting as a fourth, fifth-round pick. He's going to go in the second round.
At the combine, he ran like a 4.4, if I remember right, Tony?
He was outstanding in everything. 4.4, he had a great vertical jump. He's a great athlete. He's just not a real good football player yet. And people think, well, you know what, we're going to coach him into being a good football player. That's why they're not sure if he's going to be a safety. Some teams think he has the tools to be a terrific bump-and-run cornerback at the next level.
You know, Tony, I want to go off what Lance just asked you. And, you know, about a month ago, people started talking about Leonard Floyd to the Giants, and they were like, we think that might be a reach. Then over the weekend, I heard Daniel Jeremiah report that he might not even get to the Giants at 10, that he's rising into a top 10 player because there simply aren't that many long athletic pass rushers in this draft, and he would be a good fit for a 3-4 defense. What are you hearing about Leonard Floyd? How early could he go in this draft, and what do you think of the prospect?
Well, first of all, a year ago I thought Leonard Floyd would be a top 10 player after his sophomore season, because when you watched him all 3 years at Georgia, he was a dynamic player. He was a difference maker. The problem early in his career was a lot of inconsistency. He played like gangbusters the first half of his sophomore season. Then he kind of disappeared. They used him in a different sort of way this year where he wasn't as much a playmaker, but the guy's a great athlete. The guy's forceful up the field. He has the ability to play in coverage, drop off into space. You know, I agree. He is a terrific 3-4 outside linebacker. The other team in New York, the Jets, would love to have Leonard Floyd because he would fill a lot of the holes that they have. You know, I don't know if Cleveland would take him that early. I still think he's going to go somewhere between pick 11 to 15. A lot of people have mocked him to the New York Giants. I just don't know that he's going to be a good 4-3 outside linebacker. He's much better than a 3-4. Just to make a comparison here, you know, I remember when the Giants drafted Mathias Kiwanuka, tried to change him into a 4-3 outside linebacker. Really didn't work that well. I think Floyd is more of a natural 3-4 outside linebacker, may struggle in a 4-3.
Well, it's funny you brought up Tony Mathias Kiwanuka, because that's the comparison that everybody's throwing out with all these projections that he may go to the Giants. And Kiwanuka, you know, everybody always said, well, he's more comfortable when he's got his hand in the ground on the line. So with that being said, I know you mentioned you view Floyd as an outside linebacker. What about his upside and his potential if the Giants perhaps wanted to experiment about bringing him up on the defensive line at all?
Well, he was a terrific defensive end early in his Georgia career. If you go back to the film, his freshman and sophomore season, he came out of a three-point stance, and he was terrific. At that point in time, he just showed the athleticism, if need be, to stand up over tackle. The problem is, he'll be. I think he can be a very good pass rusher out of a three-point stance, but you're giving a lot of way against run defense because he's not going to be able to stand up on those running downs against the offensive tackles until he, one, gets bigger, and two, learns NFL techniques with his hands and to shed blocks. So, you know, it's kind of a give-and-take situation. You're going to pick up a lot in the pass rush department, but you're going to be giving away some in the run and the run stuffing area.
Give me your feel, Tony, for the Giants in the offensive tackle class in this draft. Who do you think will be there at 10 for them? Do you think they're worth the pick at 10, or are the Giants better off trying to grab an offensive tackle where they can get good value for one, say, in rounds 2, 3, or 4?
Well, I think there's a chance Stanley will be there. I also think there's a chance that Conklin will be there. Teams are all over the boards on these guys. You know, they are right tackles in the NFL. Can they play left tackle in the NFL? There's some question about that. Obviously, if you can play left tackle, you're going to be higher rated. You know, my question with the Giants is, do they want to take another offensive lineman in the first round? I mean, they've done it the past two drafts. Do they want to make it through? They've done it two of the last three drafts. I'm sorry, you correct me if I'm wrong. Want to take another offensive lineman in round one? I think that they're better off, in my opinion, maybe waiting later on. You know, here's one thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about. The Tennessee Titans have said that they're going to look to get back into the top 10 because they want to get one of the offensive tackles. You know, would the Giants consider trading down and maybe taking a linebacker later on, and more of a 4-3 linebacker later on, or getting a different player later on? It's something to consider.
And by the way, you mentioned waiting until the second or third round. Who are some of the offensive tackles they might want to target in those round 2, round 3, round 4 area, Tony?
Well, I mean, Jermaine Ifedi of Texas A&M, a guy who plays right tackle, can also play guard. He's a consideration if he falls to them. Some people think late first round, more likely somewhere in that early second round area. Sean Coleman out of Auburn, really a terrific player. He's had some injuries, plays left tackle. It's got a great amount of upside. LaRaven Clark, I'm not as high on him as an NFL-ready player, but he's a guy who's a tremendous athlete and really 2 or 3 years down the road could be a very good player for you. So there'll be good offensive tackle talent in the second round, even the third round. Joe Haig of North Dakota State, who protected the blind side for Carson Wentz for the past 3 years, 2 years. He's a guy who played left tackle. Some people project him as a right tackle. Some people also think he can play guard. So they'll be able to pluck a player at the offensive line position on day 2 of the draft.
Tony, I want to go back to when you talked about if it makes sense for the Giants to pick an offensive lineman at number 10, and you were alluding to philosophically, does it make sense to take an offensive lineman in the first round 3 of the last 4 years, which it would be if the Giants go in that direction. As a means of comparison, the Cowboys in the NFC East did that between 2011 and 2014. They addressed offensive linemen at various positions, and you know, clearly it really helped change the dynamics of how they orchestrate their offense. When you look at what Dallas went about in structuring its draft, could the Giants perhaps look at that as a means to say, hey, it worked for them in rebuilding their offensive line, perhaps they should duplicate that?
There's a couple of variables. You know, who is the best player on the board when the Giants are called to the clock? Because what happens is when you're concentrating on one area, as you see with the Dallas Cowboys, you start to develop holes in other areas. I mean, that's why they may need another defensive end. That's why they have desperate needs in the defensive secondary.
Right.
If you're reaching for the offensive lineman, then I think it's a bad idea. If there's the opportunity to trade down for a team that wants to move up to get the offensive lineman, and then you can get extra selections, I don't think you take the offensive lineman. You also have salary cap considerations. You know, eventually, when these guys' contracts are up, you're going to have all this money invested in one area, which could pose problems down the road. So, you know, it sounds good when you look at when you mention the Dallas Cowboys, but they have so many holes in so many other areas that were never addressed. Part of the reason is because they kept taking offensive linemen so early in the draft.
Yeah. And Tony, when teams decide what they're going to do in the first round, they do look later in the draft to see, well, maybe if we don't pick this guy here, we can get a guy that maybe is similar at the same position and will give you a similar value a little bit later on. When the Giants get up there at 10, what are some of those considerations for you? If, say, they're looking at the wide receivers, looking at the cornerbacks, or looking at the offensive linemen, how would you structure those first three rounds where you can still fill some of those big-time needs, but also get players at good value?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends on what players are available to them. Now, there's not going to be many pass rushers available second, third round to them. So if there's a good pass rusher or a defensive front seven player that they like, you know, if I'm there, I'm saying, hey, listen, we can get a good receiver around in the second day of the draft. We can get a good offensive lineman the second day of the draft. If my board is that, you know, there's the pass rusher that's available to us is number 12 on our board, and we're selecting number 10, you know, it's a consideration to kind of make that small reach, because I know that in day two of this draft, you'll be able to get some offensive linemen. You'll be able to get some receivers. You should be able to get a good running back if you want to add a running back. It's just that the pass rushing class, the defensive end class, is a very thin one. So there may be some, or there should be some consideration, just as long as it doesn't deviate that far from your board to maybe take that player.
One of the players that we haven't mentioned that also could be in play at number 10 is Vernon Hargraves. And I know Tampa Bay, they have a lot of mock drafts where maybe he could go right before the Giants select. What have you been hearing about Hargraves in the last few weeks, Tony, as to where he may wind up, or at least in the ballpark where he may go?
Well, we know one thing. All the rumors about about him failing a certain test at the combine turned out not to be true, which is a good thing. You're
correct.
Glad that that didn't happen. You know, the thing is, he's not 6 foot. Some teams will automatically knock guys off their board if they're not cornerbacks, I should say, off their board if they're not 6 foot tall. He's a terrific bump and run cornerback. He's basically what the Tampa Bay wants for their defense. The fact is, he's not very good in zone. He's ineffective backed off the line of scrimmage. So he's one-dimensional, but he's tremendous in that one dimension. So you have to decide, you know, am I going to take this cornerback who's under 6 foot tall, is basically can just primarily play in bump and run right now, you know, with the top 10 selection? I don't know if the Giants would do that.
With that being said, Tony, if you look at the Giants' cornerback situation, if they were to draft a guy like Hargraves, to me, he would probably be ideal for their slot need, because right now they have a few free agents. Where do you see him in terms of, if the Giants said, hey, he's our slot guy year one, could he thrive in that position?
I think he can, but I mean, after throwing all that money the way you did in free agency at a cornerback, are you going to take one, you know, with the 10th pick of the draft, you know, for someone who you can get good slot corners later on, second, third day of the draft? I think that can fill the same role. Again, I go back to, and I hate to be redundant, you know, it depends on what their board looks like.
All right, Tony, a couple positions I want to dig a little deeper into, and that's safety and tight end. Two positions the Giants have some young players at, but they'd still like to maybe be a little bit better at those positions. What do you like in the middle of this draft at safety and tight end that the Giants could maybe use a selection middle of the draft and say, you know what, this guy can come in and compete a little bit for some playing time in 2016?
Yeah, both positions are kind of thin. They're two of the worst positions in this year's draft, but you know, if you're looking at a third, fourth round pick, the Giants have shown they've liked Boston College kids. Justin Simmons, a guy who's rising up draft boards, 6'2 and a half, 202 pounds, just a smart, instinctive football player that does not have mental breakdowns or mental lapses on the field. Went to the combine. Everybody, including myself, thought he was in the 4.6s. Well, I remember sitting on the sidelines at the Shrine game with Mike Mayock talking about him. We said, you know, too bad this kid can't run. Goes to the combine, runs in the low 4.5s. Not only runs in the low 4.5s in the 40, had some of the best shuttle and three-cone times of any defensive back the past 10 years. He's going to go in the third, fourth round area. I mean, I think that's a guy who I think could instantaneously impact the Giants as a dime back, as a special teams player. Miles Killebrew of Southern Utah, same area, fourth, fifth round, 6'2", 217 pounds. A guy who I think is more of a downhill type of safety. Some people think he's going to be a weak side linebacker, but again, if you're looking for that, you know, strong safety, run stuffing type of guy, he's a good guy in those that last day of the draft. As far as the tight end position is concerned, Nick Vinette of Ohio State. He's not your seam stretcher. He's not a guy that's going to make plays 20 or 30 yards down the field. He's a very good short to intermediate range passer, and he's a terrific blocker. So on third and five, you can line him up and send him off on a pass route. On third and two, you can keep him on the line of scrimmage and use him as a blocker. Some talk that he may get into the second day of the draft, but if he's there in the fourth round, he is the most complete tight end in this year's draft. An interesting player to watch is Devin Cajuste of Stanford. I mean, he played receiver at Stanford, 6'3 and a half, 235 pounds, runs in the 4.5s, catches the ball like a receiver. It would be a transition for him, but if you're looking for that move type of receiver that can get down the field on third and long in the red zone, or just on a general go route, he's a guy that a lot of teams like at that move tight end position, and he's going to be a last day pick.
You mentioned in terms of the most versatile tight end, who would you say is the best blocking tight end in this group where they could come in and they could transfer that skill set day one to get battling in the trenches?
Yeah, you're looking at 2 seventh-round picks and guys that I know no one's talked about. David Morgan of Texas San Antonio, 6'4", 262 pounds, and a kid from Montana State by way of Miami of Florida, Bo Sandlin, 6'4 and a half, 255 pounds. Those guys are both blockers first and second and pass catchers third. Maybe even Bryce Williams of East Carolina. He's got the size of a blocker, 6'5 and a half, 260 pounds. He was basically used as a pass catcher at East Carolina, but he's done a good job blocking. You know, he's more of a fifth, sixth-round pick, while Morgan and Sandlin are seventh-round choices.
Tony, final one for me, and I ask everybody this that's come on the last 2 weeks. I'm keeping a trail here. You're going to be number 9 on my list. Give me your mock draft pick for the Giants, who you think they're going to take, and then give me, if I name Tony Pauline general manager of the Giants today, who would you pick if you were the New York Football Giants?
Wow. Am I allowed to propose a trade on this one?
I will make a note of a trade, but then I will also force you to make a pick.
Okay. Well, okay. We'll go with the general manager. If I'm sitting here at 10, I know they want a defensive player, but I think they want a big-bodied receiver. So I've been hearing in recent weeks Laquon Treadwell. That's the guy I'm going to say. I'm going to go against the trend, just primarily to go against the trend, but I also think it's a good pick. I also think he's being undervalued. With Laquon Treadwell, people say, well, he didn't run fast. No one thought he was a vertical receiver to begin with. He's 6'3". He's a terrific possession receiver. He'd do a great job pairing up with Odell Beckham, and I think he's the best receiver in this draft.
Okay, so that's if you're the general manager. Who do you think they're going to take?
If I'm the general manager, I'm really looking at what I mentioned that before. I'm looking at maybe working the phones with the Tennessee Titans, who want to move up into that top 10 to get an offensive tackle. I'm getting some extra selections. And then down in the middle of round one, I'm going with the guy that we talked about at the combine, Darren Lee.
You love Darren Lee.
Fits a need. He's a three-down linebacker. You know, everyone talks about the pass rushers. They also need guys who can play in space. They need guys who are just as effective on third and five covering the pass as they are rushing the passer. So if I'm the general manager, I'm Jerry Reese, I'm in that war room, I'm calling the Tennessee Titans, say, hey, listen, you want to come up here and get one of those tackles? You know, give me X number of picks. Give me your second-round pick and a fourth-round pick. I'm moving down then taking Darren Lee of Ohio State.
Tony, great stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say the Giants and Titans made a trade last year that led to Landon Collins. So I think your track record and your history, Tony, may work out in your favor there.
There we go. Hopefully we can sign me up for a job in their war room next year, right?
All right, Tony, do me a favor. Tell all the fans where they can find you over the next few days, where they can find your work, what you have coming on the horizon, and everything they can check you out on social media and on the Internet.
Well, what I'd say is follow me on Twitter, at Tony Pauline. I will be on SNY all 3 days of the draft, several shows. draftinsider.net. We've got 740 individual scouting reports up there. So while everyone's talking about the first, second, and third round, you know, if the Giants take a sleeper or no name in the seventh round, or even the guys that they sign after the draft as undrafted free agents, you go to draftinsider.net, you'll be able to get information on them.
There you have it. He's the man. We'll have him again after the draft to break down the picks. It's Tony Pauline. Tony, great stuff. Thanks for giving you the time on a very busy week, and we'll talk to you in a little bit, all right?
Thanks a lot, Tony.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
We love Tony. He does a great job. We talked to him at the Combine. He had Darren Lee was a sleeper pick for the Giants at the Combine as well.
So he's sticking to his gut there.
He is. I like it.
And he's orchestrating a trade, too.
I know.
To get more picks.
That was the first guy that really, really wanted to make a trade out of that spot from all the guys that we had.
Well, it's been the trend so far.
So just to summarize, but you know, before I get to that, let me just remind people that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. So we have... I'll give you the mock selections first. This is predicting who the Giants will pick. I have a Treadwell. I have an Elliott. I have two Elliotts. I have a Darren Lee. I have an Eli Apple. I have three Ronnie Stanleys, and I have one Jack Conklin.
All over the place. I mean, there really is no consistency.
If they were making the choice, I have one Ronnie Stanley, one Darren Lee with the trade down, one Vernon Hargraves, one Ezekiel Elliott, not make that two Ezekiel Elliotts, a Miles Jack, a Sheldon Rankins, and a Michael Thomas, wide receiver from Ohio State.
The last two are interesting, Rankins and Thomas.
Yes.
Because those are two names that we're not necessarily hearing, even within that vicinity of where the Giants are selected.
Well, Rankins has been a top 15 guy.
Well, Thomas, though, I have not seen go that high.
That was from John Ledyard, USA Today. He loves Michael Thomas.
Right.
I think Thomas might be there in their second round, in which case I would jump on him.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, when I heard the name Thomas, I was thinking more second round, unless, you know, like you said, perhaps the stocks are changing. I mean, that's why we heard from Tony about, you know, Leonard Floyd and a few other guys moving up over the last few weeks.
And then tomorrow, Anita and I will have Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. He will have his latest intel on what he's hearing about the NFL draft. No new mock drafts out yet today from what I've been able to tell, so we'll keep an eye on that. And I always say this, folks, coming up to the final week of the draft, these guys that do these mock drafts are often forced to do more mock drafts than they want to do. So they have to make changes week to week for the sake of making changes for content purposes. Those are those editors out there that make you do all this stuff that you don't want to do if you're a content producer. But this is the week when the ones they put up are trying to really be accurate. They're not doing things for the sake of change, for the sake of being different. These are the selections that they really think are going to be made. And we actually do have a new mock draft, looks like, on NFL.com. And let's see. He has Goff 1, Wentz 2, Tunsil 3, Bosa 4, Ramsey 5, Stanley 6, DeForest Buckner 7, Ezekiel Elliott 8, Vernon Hargraves 9, and then with Miles Jack on the board, the Giants select Leonard Floyd out of Georgia. Where does Jack go on that draft? Scroll down.
Let's see.
Curious.
Oh, he's got Jack.
Dodd, Lawson, Ragland, Conklin,
to the
Decker.
Falcons.
Wow. Tell you what, if he's healthy, that's a steal for them. And they need defense. So there you go.
Well, they need somebody to get to the quarterback, too.
That's true. All right, here we go. You've been waiting on the phones long enough. Let's get to it. Russell is up in Alaska. Russell, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah. I've been listening to y'all for the last past couple of weeks. And I've been looking at a couple of mock drafts, and I agree with the analyst. I think the Giants are going to take a receiver. I was thinking about taking an offensive line to kid from Michigan State, but if you team him up with the wide receiver from Ole Miss with Odell Beckham Jr., woo, powerful offense. I don't think we need defense first round. I understand we say a middle linebacker, but you know the Giants draft records. They don't draft linebackers in the first round. They don't do it. So I believe we're going to get a wide receiver. I think we need another wide receiver. I keep saying this, that Minnesota game, I keep bringing up past history. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. was suspended those last couple of games. The Giants' offense looked like crap.
Russell,
look. You got to look at the record. We don't have receivers. We can't count on Harris to be our second receiver.
No, Russell, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. They need a receiver. But the question is a wide receiver in this draft good enough and valuable enough to be picked at 10 over the other guys on the board? That's the question.
Yeah, Russ, it's about maximizing the pick. It's not so much the need. It's the fact that if you do want to go wide receiver in the first round, he is by far separating himself from the rest of the pack.
And quite frankly, I think a receiver that could be available in the second round isn't that much worse than the guy you would pick at 10.
I disagree with that. I think the kid Moe Miss is going to be I think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the game. It depends on the offense. Like, I want an offensive line. I'm heavy on offensive line. I want the kid from Michigan State, but I'm listening to what he's saying. I'm like, that is true because, you know, the draft's going to push down because of the two trades. It all depends on what the Cowboys do. I think the Cowboys are going to go for Ezekiel Elliott. They have to get a running back. I understand they got Morris, but I don't believe that's they're going to be the running back for the next couple of years. So, and Bosa is another player that I'm not sleeping on either. I got a feeling he's going to drop near the Giants. But I don't want the Giants to draft him. I don't think he's a top 10 player.
Whoa.
I'd be surprised if he's there at 10.
I just don't believe it. I seen a video with him and Copeland. He did not. I tweeted you that video. I said, look at this video. When he played against Michigan State, he did not line up with him at all. So I was just why I said I wanted the kid from Michigan State. But I understand the Giants draft the kid from Ole Miss. It's understandable. They need that second receiver.
All right. Thank you, Russ. And you know what? What the heck? I appreciate it. I'm going to put that up on the wall. I might as well start taking predictions today, right?
What about Joey Bosa falling below 10?
No. Oh. No. This is Russell in Alaska. I'm going to put it on the board, Russ. And, in fact, if anybody else has predictions, you can call in and give me a prediction, too. I'll put it on the wall. He has the Giants taking Treadwell, and he has Bosa available at 10. I like doing predictions. They're fun. And if
you got room up there on the bulletin board.
I got plenty of thumbtacks.
Well,
I got plenty of room. I did. I cleaned it up.
That was a nice job by you, a little spring cleaning.
No problem.
Yeah.
So if I'm the Giants and Bosa's there at 10, I put on my ski mask. I write Bosa on the card. I bring it up to Roger Goodell. I hand it to him. And I put on my jetpack. And I don't even walk out the door.
No, you don't.
I fly out the ceiling. I get the hell out of there so fast that no one's catching me. Because that would be unbelievable value at number 10 to get Joey Bosa, who is quite frankly the best defensive end in college football the last 2 years.
At the same time, though, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Is that a red flag, though, that he's available at 10?
I don't care.
Okay. I'm just throwing it out there.
Tape, don't lie,
nine,
bro.
Well, not 9, because the first two teams have taken a quarterback, but if teams 3 through 9 pass on him, you at least need to ask yourself, why is this happening? Because here's the difference. Leonard Williams fell last year, but he didn't dip. I mean, we're talking about,
went 7?
A little bit. No, he didn't go that far down.
I think, weren't the Jets at 7 last year for
7?
Leonard Williams?
Really? They were that low? Let me look it up. I didn't think
6?
It was that low.
I thought
it was
the Redskins 6. Picked Sheriff at 5.
So I think the Jets were 6, if I'm correct. Let's see here.
You could be right. Maybe we'll split the difference.
They
were
6. Were 6.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
Bears
7.
Were 7.
6. Got it.
So he was in the ballpark of, what, 3? That was at least where
some were.
Well,
he was supposed to be the top player.
I didn't hear him go to the Bucs, obviously, or the Titans, because they were going to take a quarterback.
Well, you know what? It would have been a surprise. A lot of people thought he was the best player in the draft. So put him at 3. He dropped 4 spots.
Dropped 4. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if Bosa goes from – he's
3 to 10. He'll go from 3 to 10.
That's a significant jump.
It is.
Once again, I still think it's good value.
And again, I can't speak to the off-the-field stuff. Now, if these teams have dug and they found stuff about him off the field where they question his character – I can't judge that. I can only judge
by
what we did
on the field. Well, you have to go by your own research.
Correct.
Yeah.
And based on what people have told me, I haven't heard anything out there that he's somebody that I would be really worried about off the field. I've heard rumblings, but nothing that I would consider concrete.
Neither have I. I haven't heard the off-the-field stuff. If anything, I've heard people, you know, use your term, which was boring, and then perhaps they're turned off by that because they want overwhelming flashiness. But that's not necessarily a reason to turn away
from
him.
He's such a laid-back guy. I mean, did you watch him at the Combine, his media availability?
Yeah, he's not necessarily
he's
a
like,
guy that...
Hey, guys. I'm Joey Bosa.
Well, but here's the thing.
Got any questions? He's
I will take a laid-back guy off the field as long as he's not laid-back on the field.
Well, and I think when you watch him on the field,
correct.
You call him anything but laid-back.
So he could. My answer is he could be the most boring interaction with the media in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And I would not lose any sleep over that.
Right, as long as he turns it on the field, which he
That's
clearly
all that matters.
Does. Mike is in Tennessee. He's up next. Michael, what's up?
Hey, I just had a couple of questions and statements.
Go ahead.
What do you guys think about Jack Conklin as the number 10 pick? I mean, why has he risen so far up in the draft so quickly?
I think people like his toughness, his intangibles. They watch him on the field. He's nasty. And frankly, coming out of college these days, Micah, you'll find a lot more finesse blockers because of the spread offense than you'll find road-grading power offensive tackles that play with an attitude. It's the same reason the Giants liked Eric Flowers so much last year. And they also think that he might even be able to be a left tackle someday. Or if maybe if you want to move him to the guard, he could be a Pro Bowl guard. So I think that's why Conklin has really moved up the draft boards because people like those intangibles that they see. And frankly, he came out of a pro-style system. So if you draft an offensive line, Mike, in the first round, you want someone that you can plug in and be confident about him playing in a pro-style system, Conklin's your guy.
Sounds good. I don't think Joey Bosa is going to drop. He's too good a player to drop to 10. I don't know. I also don't think DeForest Buckner is going to drop. I've seen him in a couple of mock drafts at to 10 to the Giants. I don't see that happening. And same with Miles Jack. I don't see him falling at all. But I have another question. If Ronnie Stanley, you think Ronnie Stanley will drop?
I think he's going to be real close.
I think he'll be in the ballpark of that 6 to 10 range. I think he could go pretty much anywhere in between there.
Now, I think in the end, Micah, despite the fact that, you know, and Kuiper's been one of the guys that's really high on Jack Conklin, that he's been rising on boards, I think in the end, a team will see Ronnie Stanley's feet and pass block ability and say, I want him as my left tackle, and he's going to go before Conklin. So if I had to guess, I think Stanley's off the board before the Giants go, but I think there's also a good chance he's going to be there.
Yeah, I personally like Stanley better than I do Conklin just because I think Eric Flowers is more of a right tackle than he is a left tackle, and because he's got more power, and so I think that Stanley would probably be better fit for the left tackle. But my pick for the number 10 for the Giants probably will be Jack Conklin, but if it were me, I'd probably take Leonard Floyd.
Okay.
All right, so there we go. Another prediction on the wall.
Conklin mock.
And remember, just on your point here in terms of offensive lineman, Micah, you know, Stanley, remember, started off as a right tackle, then moved to left. So, you know, he has shown versatility going back to his days at Notre Dame. I don't see why it would be a question about whether or not he can play either position in the NFL.
And I'm with Lance now, too. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I believe he can play both. I just think he'd be better fit at left.
That's understandable. I hear you in terms of him maybe being more of a finesse guy as opposed to a bulldozer like a Jack Conklin. I think that's fair. I think most people would agree with that. And we appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Micah.
Yeah, thanks so much for weighing in.
And the funny thing about it now, if you talk to a lot of people that do this for a living, in Pro Football Focus, Steve Palazzolo is a big advocate of this, that now with the way NFL teams set up their pass rush, there's really not much of a differentiation between left tackle and right tackle now. And even according to their metrics and numbers, you know, you're not more likely to get home if you're coming off right end as opposed to left end. People say blind side of the quarterback and all that stuff. The numbers don't show that the rusher on the blind side has really a bigger effect than the other one. And Von Miller, where does he rush over? He rushes over the right tackle. Where does J.J. Watt often rush over? The right tackle. So you're seeing premier pass rushers now on both ends. So you want pass protectors on both sides. I'm not sure if you really have as much of a differentiation between left and right as you used to.
Meaning that the right guy should be your run blocker and the left guy should be
correct.
Your pass protector. You should have balance where the right guy can also pass protect because
correct.
Of the mix and matching. And I think part of that, John, is, which you brought up a good point, is, you know, in this day and age, a lot of the defensive linemen are lined up on various sides because it's all about matchups. If I could put J.J. Watt against a rookie right tackle, I'd rather put him there than put him up against a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Right, and even look at JPP. He moved over to the left end this year. Granted, it was because of reasons other than football X's and O's because his, you know, he couldn't use his right hand to be his plan hand. But you're having some of the best pass rushers in football lining up at left end over right tackle. And the last thing you want is some slow-footed beast over there. And these fast guys are running around them.
Correct, yeah. So that's why I think you always look for versatility.
Yeah.
And that's why it also doesn't hurt to get an offensive lineman who's played on the right side and the left side in college.
Absolutely.
Because then they're comfortable on both sides and it really doesn't matter where you start.
Flowers and Stanley both did that.
Yeah.
Did Conklin play right tackle early at Michigan State? I can look that up. Hold on. Let me see. I'm not sure if he did. I should
I heard
know this.
More about Stanley. I forget it.
I know
of
Stanley
Conklin.
Definitely played right tackle.
Because
and Tony
when
said that
Martin
again.
Was still there, obviously, Stanley
let me see, Conklin.
Started off on the right.
Conklin started 3 games at right tackle in his redshirt freshman year. So he has had some time at right tackle. So there you go. 201-939-4513. By the way, happy birthday to Eric Flowers, who we just mentioned a couple times. 22 years old.
There you go.
Young
Very
man.
Nice.
That means he was born in going to be depressed. That means he was born in 1994.
Do the math. Wow. Yes.
I was 13. Good Lord. He was born after the last baseball strike. How about that?
Well, that's a good way to put things in perspective of all the things to choose. Well, it's nice to have some young offensive linemen the last time I checked. So I don't think the Giants are complaining that he's only turning 22.
I know.
You may be depressed, but they're certainly not. I'll tell you that.
I remember when I got hired here, I was one of the youngest guys in the building.
Well,
not
unfortunately,
anymore.
You're not in that position
no,
anymore.
Absolutely not. And I was the same age as like a lot of the players. And not the case anymore either.
No. You're an old man now.
Yeah. Let's go to Brandon in New Jersey. He's up next. Brandon, what's going on, pal?
Yes. What's going on, man?
How are you, Brandon?
Good, man. This is how I would do this draft. It's all about depth in this draft, Giants. This is what we need to do. I don't care who's there at number one. We need to pick Jack Conklin, and this is why. We've been building this offensive line since 2013. We need to finish it off. We got Eric Flowers at the left tackle position, Justin Pugh at the left guard position, Rich Berger at center. Put Bobby Hart at the right guard position and put Jack Conklin at the right tackle position, and now we solidify our offensive line. Second round, I'll pick Mekel Thompson, the wide receiver. That's where we need to go, second round, get a wide receiver.
Wait, pick
third
who in
round,
the second round?
Second round, get Mekel Thompson, the wide receiver.
You mean Mekel? Right now, Mekel Thompson is the Mekel Thompson's a safety for the Giants. You're talking about Michael Thomas out of Ohio State?
Michael Thomas. Yeah,
okay.
Michael Thomas. I'm sorry.
I got it. That's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know Mekel Thompson was going back in the draft. I mean, that's a good one, Brandon.
No, Brandon, it's all good.
I like the kid's swag. I like him.
Okay.
Third round, we need our third corner. We need to get the best corner in the third round that could cover in the slot. Fourth round, I'll get the free safety as a depth because I believe one of the free safeties coming back probably take that spot because the rookie don't really know the playbook as probably as well as the injured guys coming back. So we could use him probably as a depth.
Well, okay. Wait, Brandon, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, I'm your GM here. You just said you want me to take the best corner in round three. Do you have any suggestions here? I mean, I'm taking notes. Who's your best corner in the third round? Who do you want them to take?
Well, I've been hearing y'all talking to a lot of the scouts and stuff. So I don't know their names, but I heard that it will be good cover corner slots in the third round.
There will.
That you could get.
Cyrus Jones maybe at Alabama?
There will be some depth.
Cyrus Jones is a nice slot guy, 5'9", can cover.
That's why I wouldn't reach. Only way I would reach and get Hargroves in the first round is if he's just there. You can't deny to take it. Because we need Conklin because there's not that many tackles that could come in and step in right away and play. So we need to go first round and finish the line. That's my opinion because you don't want to pick a guy that's probably really a backup to start on the right side. You don't want to do that. Then we wind up having to start Newhouse, and I don't believe that's what we need to do this year. I believe we need to finish the line. So therefore, get the third round, get the best corner that could cover in the slot, and fourth round get the free safety. Fifth round get another deep pass, the best pass rushing defensive line that could come in and rotate. You understand what I'm saying? In the fifth round, the best guy that could rotate in the fifth round. In the sixth round, I believe we need another defensive tackle behind. What's the guy we have?
Hankins?
Bromley.
Oh, Bromley, okay. So yeah, you're talking about, you're looking at the third string on the depth chart. Because Bromley is expected to be the main backup, at least right now.
Yeah, he'd probably be the third defensive tackle. So okay. I believe to put that behind him in the sixth round, because I know we only had six picks.
Who do you have in the fifth round?
The best defensive tackle. And another thing I want to add, I was just about to forget. Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, real quick.
I believe we should move depth, and I believe we set at the linebacker position because Fat Noel's fatty. He said we're pretty good there. I believe he's going to move Devin Kennard to the middle linebacker position. Do you think he's a good fit as a middle linebacker?
Here's the thing. They just They just brought in three middle linebackers this offseason, and two of them are actually fairly young. So I don't think Kennard's going to be in the mix there in the middle. I think he's your Sam, and I think that's a good fit for him.
Yeah, you got Shepard, you got Brinkley, and
you also have
Keenan Robinson. And appreciate the phone call. I think those three guys are going to compete for the middle spot. Kennard,
Brandon,
likely going to stay on the outside at this point.
Thank you, Brandon. My apologies. 201-939-4513. We've got three callers. Let's take these three before we say goodbye. Chris in Manchester. Chris, you're up next.
Good afternoon, guys. Good show.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm going to make it short because your time is of the essence here.
No worries.
I have a couple of things. Beckham against Norman. I think it's going to be twice a year for us. It's going to be a big problem, guys. It's going to shut him down somewhat. I think Beckham could probably win some battles.
Yeah, Chris, real fast. Here's the thing. When they asked Josh Norman to cover Beckham strictly man-to-man, like bump and run, Beckham got the best of him.
Yeah.
Now, that's the thing. They didn't really ask Norman to play a ton of man to man bump and run. It was a lot of zone, a lot of cover three, a lot of help, you know, things like that. So I think it really depends on how the Redskins decide to use him. If they ask him to go out there on an island, I think Beckham's going to kill him.
It's all my thunder because we're playing him twice a year,
right?
And they're going to come up with some kind of a program here. Definitely, I agree. Number two. I don't think the Giants are going to draft an injured player. I really don't. At a number 10 or number 15 in that area, if we trade back or not, I don't think we're going to go injury. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, based on the team and the injuries that they've had to deal with, unfortunately, when you pick number 10 overall, I would agree, you want the least amount of question marks, Chris, connected to that. So if you do bring in somebody who already has question marks at number 10, you know, that's a big risk that you're taking.
I remember John Mara did say, let's maybe reduce some of the risk factor in the draft earlier this winter.
Absolutely. You know my feelings about the offensive tackles. I don't think there's really dominant ones like a Scherf or a Zach Martin or in the last couple of drafts. I think moving down. Finally, we got a guy who called in, Pauline, that says we should move down. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Now, my pick for the number 10 spot, and I'm going to give you the number 15 spot. I still like Rankins on the line, okay? And I do like Jackson. I think Hargraves is going to be gone. I do like Jackson as a quarterback because I believe we got to defend these wide receivers in the league. Thank you, guys.
You got it. Appreciate it, Chris. And I just wanted to clarify for those of you not know the name, that's William Jackson III that he was referring to, correct, the cornerback.
Really long, not a slot guy. He's more of an outside boundary type of corner. Very long, fun, fastest corner at the combine, if I recall. I think around a 4.34.
Well, I've said this time and time again, and I know you threw it out.
4.37, pardon me.
I like the cornerbacks overall in this group. I really do. I mean, I think you could walk away with some real good prospects as you get even into the third or the fourth round. There's quality at that cornerback position. It may give even defensive line a test and a run for its money in terms of the most depth in this draft. So there's going to be players to grab even if you miss out on them in round number one.
Christian in New Jersey. Christian, what's up?
Fellas, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling in, Christian. What's up?
I'm so excited. You have no idea. So really quickly, all right, first of all, you guys are great.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Top 10 pick has to be an impact player. No more O-line. Okay, I'm done with that. I think we all done with that. Conklin, Stanley, great. But you know what? We need an impact player.
Who do you want there, 10, as an impact player?
Miles Jack is going to drop to us, and I kid you not, he's going to be amazing. Him or Buckner? I get the feeling one of those two guys are going to drop. We need to solidify that defense. I'm done with having, like, the worst defense. I mean, this is not Giants football. It's not Giants football at all. I've been watching the Giants since the late 80s, okay? We need those Carsons. We need the you know what? I'm just done with it. Okay, so really quickly, I'm done with it. I hear you.
You're campaigning for defense.
Thank you. We're going for defense. Okay, second round, we're going offense, okay? Here's another thing. Odell Beckham is going to kill Norman. He burned him so many times.
Well, three times.
Thank you. But the thing is, Odell Beckham, his head, Norman got to him.
Yes, he did.
Norman completely got to him. He needs to, you know, and there's a reason why my man Eli Manning, who came over this past week, he did a great event, charity event for the Robin Hood event, and I happen to be an employee for Emmett Ejiofor-Lasagna.
Very nice.
He came. We spoke. Cool dude. Okay, amazing dude. And he practically said, you know what? We need to go offense in the second round. We need someone. Okay? And he knows it. He feels it.
I think Eli wants an offensive player with every pick if it was up to him.
He told me himself, we got to go offense. At least he understands the defense needs to be in the first round.
Yeah.
But the second round, we need some impact players, okay? But I'll tell you one thing, though. Odell Beckham will kill Norman.
All right, Christian.
It took him 4 years for him to for everything to click. But if you really observe that game, come on, please. I mean, Odell all day.
Well, Beckham beat him on that first play. Unfortunately, he dropped what would have been a touchdown. He beat him on the touchdown that helped the Giants come back and tie the game. And there were some opportunities for Beckham to certainly make plays. Nobody's going to deny that. It will be interesting, as you mentioned, how the Redskins utilize him. I've heard a lot of comparisons, John, to Nnamdi Asamoah when he made the transition from Oakland to Philadelphia. I don't see it the same way. I think Washington is going to try to utilize him as close to the way Carolina did.
Well, that's the trick.
I think that's – they wouldn't make that investment unless they studied up and they realized, okay, if we bring him in, how do we think he'll mesh well? Plus, let's also not forget, they have Chris Culliver and they have Bashaud Breeland. So they got a nice mixture of corners there where it's not as if it's Norman with a bunch of unproven commodities. There's some depth there in the secondary.
And they're all physical players.
Correct.
Rashad Breeland's a really physical player at the line of scrimmage. So is Josh Norman.
And Culliver, too.
And Culliver is also. But again, you have to use him the right way. And, you don't want to put Josh Norman on an island with Odell Beckham Jr. You just don't. He's really good, but you don't want to put any player in the NFL on an island with Odell Beckham Jr. It's not going to go well.
Yes.
It's not. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Darrelle Revis. I don't care if you're Richard Sherman. One-on-one, island, no help? No. And it's like that for A.J. Green. It's like that for Julio Jones. It's like that for Dez Bryant. You don't put any of those guys on an island. Not a good idea.
Now, the one other thing I wanted to throw out, John,
real quick,
we're running out of time before
call.
You get back to the phone lines, and the caller alluded to this. It is going to be an interesting test to see what Beckham learned from that matchup from a mental standpoint. I think that's, to me, the more interesting dynamics of this conversation. Beckham's got the talent. No matter who's covering him, he can win his individual battles. But what is his takeaway from that Carolina experience where if Norman comes at him the same way and has that similar approach, will he be able to put that behind him and realize there's more to the game?
September 25th, Giants hosting the Washington Redskins. Jay in Connecticut, wrap us up, buddy.
Hello, how you doing?
Jay, what's up, man?
Jay.
You got a minute.
All right, cool. Long time listener. Love you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Jay. Appreciate you listening.
All right, cool. I'm going to make it quick, try and cram a few things in. Just draft getting close, been thinking about a lot. I'm starting to get, as it get closer, I'm feeling the offensive line pick. I say it makes sense. And I'm saying we're building on something right here. I think we're building on something special. We ain't got to worry about nothing, really. Like this division, I think it's for us to take this year, really.
You want Conklin or Stanley,
really,
Jay?
Cool. This is what I was thinking, though. I'm wanted to know, how would you guys feel about maybe a guy like Braxton Miller in the third round, throw him in the mix?
I'm okay with
that. Odell and Vic, maybe something along those lines. But I'm thinking that Michigan State kid at 10, I say it makes a lot of sense.
Conklin.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, I would have no problem going Braxton Miller in the third round. I think two's too early. I think you can find a more polished wide receiver in round two. But, Lance, I think round three, it's a good pick.
I agree. Jay, I actually like your thinking. One of the guys that's always caught my eye entering this draft is a middle-round guy because I like his upside. I love the athleticism. I think Braxton Miller, the way Ben McAdoo and company could utilize him in this offensive system, I think he'd be a nice complement to Beckham. He's raw, but I don't mind taking a chance on a raw guy, John, maybe in that mid-round type of area. So, yeah, I would watch out for that name, Jay. I like the way you're thinking there.
Well, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for tuning in.
Keep doing what you're doing. You guys do a good job. Keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate
that,
Jay.
Real quick before I say goodbye, Lance, I came up with my Giants big board for 2016. I have it in tiers, all right?
Tiers, wow.
That's how I'm going to do it. Real quick. Technically it's 14 players deep, but you really only need the first nine because with the two quarterbacks, one of those guys is going to be there for the Giants. So my top tier, in which case you say Hail Marys afterwards and thank the Almighty for letting one of these three guys drop to you, Tunsil, Bosa, and Ramsey. probably in that order, though. I've juxtapositioned Bosa and Ramsey back and forth, 2 and 3, a million times in my head. I don't know which guy I would pick, to be honest with you. Really close. My next group, I have Miles Jack, assuming my medical reports tell me he's healthy. In fact, I might even have him in that first tier if he's completely healthy.
Oh, I think he's got the resume to be in that first
tier. I have Hargraves and Buckner in that group. Okay. Which I'll be very happy if one of those guys drop.
What about Elliott? Elliott's not in that second group?
This is for the Giants.
Oh, okay. You just did for the Giants.
This is just for the Giants. Then the third group, I have Conklin, Stanley, and Leonard Floyd. And that's how I kind of have it set up. And then Zeke Elliott would be in that next group with, like, Laquon Treadwell.
And what about with Shaq Lawson and Darren
Stanley,
Lee?
They'd all be in that next group. Absolutely.
I think it's fair.
That's how I have it.
Yeah.
And if the Giants get anybody in that top nine, I'll be fine with it. The reason I have Floyd there is that, A, Banks sold me heavy on him. He was here a week ago, and I was battering him with Leonard Floyd questions, like left and right. Before all these articles in the paper came out, yeah. I was all over him. And he really thinks he can be a 4-3 linebacker and rush the passer on third down.
So Carl Banks wants to remove the title?
Yeah.
The title that I always throw out every year.
I think he's tired of being
the last linebacker taken in the first round?
He's tired of it.
Wow.
So
I may have to have a pep talk with him. So I don't know if he's in that position.
Carl has sold me in a large part on Leonard Floyd, but if they go offensive line there, I get that too. That's fine. And Treadwell and Elliott, if they believe in Treadwell, I guess I would pick Elliott before I pick Treadwell. I just think he's a better player. But that's how I have my board right now.
You know, we've talked about this a lot, and, you know, track record to me is something that can't be overlooked. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how personnel changes and needs change year to year, track record doesn't change. And one of the track records for the Giants, which is why I think Floyd enters the conversation, is that athleticism, which you can't teach to most prospects. The gift of athleticism, the versatility, and saying to themselves, boy, if we bring him in, the types of things that we can do with him, how we can utilize him, that fits the profile of some of the guys that the Giants have taken chances on in the past.
And what have you heard time and time again? You can find a cornerback middle rounds. You can find the wide receiver middle rounds. Maybe even an offensive tackle, though I've heard people tell me different things. You can't find a pass rusher middle rounds. Can't. Floyd's one of the few guys that people really think can get after the quarterback. So that's why I've been kind of pushed in that direction a little bit.
Oh, I would agree with that mindset.
Lance Metal, John Schmelk, Big Blue Kickoff Live. It was brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destinations. If you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. DraftKings.com, promo code CONTACT, claim your free entry. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Anita Marks and myself tomorrow with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. We thank you for joining us. We'll see you then on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.
Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.